Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Het, Mishnah Dalet will continue adding details into how somebody becomes a ben sorer u more. We learn that from the pasuk, where the pasuk tells us v'tafsu bo aviv ve'imo, that his mother and father take him v'hotziu oto el zikne iro, and they take him out to the elders of the town. That the mother and father both have to have a role in here. They both have to have him tried by the Bet Din. So we say, Haya aviv rotze ve'imo eno ratza. If his father wants to have him judged, but his mother does not want to have him judged. Aviv eno rotze ve'imo rotza. Or his father does not want to have him judged, but his mother wants to. Eno naase ben soreru more. We don't cause this kid to become ben soreru more. Ad shehu shenehem rotzim, until both the mother and father want to have him judged. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im lo haita imori uya le'aviv, eno naase ben soreru more. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if his mother doesn't match his father, if she has a different voice than him, or a different look than him, or she's a different height than him, then the child cannot become a ben soreru more. Rabbi Yehuda learns this out from the pisukim. The pasuk says, enenu shomea bekolenu, that the parents are saying that the child doesn't hear our voice in the singular. And by the fact that it doesn't say kolotenu, our voices, we learn from here that there's one voice for both of them. And we learn out from there that their voice has to be the same. And if their voice has to be the same, we also learn out that their look and their height have to be the same as well. So essentially what Rabbi Yehuda holds is, there's an impossibility for somebody to ever become a ben soreh moreh, because you can't have two people, a man and a woman who are married, look, sound, and have the same exact height. So ben soreh moreh lo haya velo atid lihiyot. As we famously know from the Gemara, ben soreh moreh never happened, and ben soreh moreh never will happen, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We also learn at other halakhot from these two pesukim, where it says, "V'tafsu bo avi ve'imo," parents grab the kid, "V'otziu oto el zikne iro ve'el sha'ar mekomo," they take him out to the elders of the town and to the gate of the city, "V'amru el zikne iro," and they tell the elders of the city, "Benenu ze, this son, sorer umore, is rebellious against us. Enenu shomea bekolenu zolel ve'sove. He doesn't listen to our voice. He is gluttonous and he drinks." So we learn out a lot of different halakhot from these pesukim. Haya had mehem gidem, or higer, or ilem, or some, or heresh. If one of the parents was missing a hand, or was unable to walk, or was a mute, or was blind, or was deaf, any of these disabilities, eno naase ben soreru more. The kid cannot become a ben soreru more. Shene emar, like the pasuk tells us, v'tafsu bo aviv imo. Like we started off by saying, the parents grab onto the kid. So if they have to grab onto him, what does that mean? Velo gidemin. It has to be that they have hands in order to grab onto him. They can't be missing a hand. V'hotziu oto. We see from here also that they have to bring him out, which tells us that they have the ability to walk out with him, and that they don't have a disability with their legs. And they say to the elders of the town, that tells us that they have the ability to talk, and therefore they're not mute. Benenu ze, velo somin. When they say, this son of ours, which tells us that they could point him out and they have the ability to see him, which tells us that the parents are not allowed to be blind. Enenu shomea bekolenu velo hirishin. They say the child is not listening to our voice, which implies that they have the ability to hear him, and say that he's not obeying them, and therefore they're not allowed to be deaf. If they're deaf, then the child cannot become a ben sorer umore. Only a child who goes through the following procedure could become a ben soreru more. Matrinbo, the parents warn him first in front of people to stop this evil behavior. Bifnei sheloshaf, he violates again. He steals and buys meat and wine and drinks it and all that. Then they bring him to a court of three judges. Umalkinoto, then the court gives him malkut, they give him lashes. Hazad vekilkel, if he then does it again, Nidon be'esrim u'shlosha, they bring him to a court of 23 judges who have the ability to execute him by sekila, by stoning. Ve'enon iskal ad sheyehu sham shelosha harishonim. They don't stone him or sentence him for stoning unless the three judges who were there originally that gave him Malkut are sitting on the Bet Din of 23. We learn this out from the Pasuk, Shene'emar Benenu Zeh. Like it says, this son of ours, that the parents are pointing him out, and they could tell the original judges, Zehu Shelaka Bifrechem, this is the boy who received Malkut, who received lashes in your presence. Barach Ad Shelo Nigmar Dino. If he ran away before his verdict was reached, and then he grew in all the hair that he needed in order to become an adult, we say patur, he is not liable, even though he may be caught later on, because once a person reached that age of maturity, and he's at that stage of development, he's too old to be considered to be a ben tzoreh moreh. He wasn't sentenced yet. We can't sentence him now because now he is an adult. But if he ran away after the verdict was reached and they said they're going to kill him, and then he grew in all the air he needed, but it was post-verdict, and then he ran away, hayav, he's liable because he was sentenced at the right age. And once someone has that psak, they have that verdict, the sentence remains in force. Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Het Mishnah He. Here the Mishnah is going to talk about the punishment of the Ben Tzoreh Moreh, why we treat him so severely, much more than a normal case of somebody who steals. Mishnah says, Ben Tzoreh Moreh Nidon Al Shem Sofo. The Ben Tzoreh Moreh is judged on what he's going to do in the future, later on in life. The fact that he's right now at this young age stealing, he is involved in very physical activities, drinking wine, eating meat. He is going down a path that he's probably going to steal badly from people and then eventually murder. So therefore, the Torah says, Yamut Zakai ve'al Yamut Hayav. Let him die now when he's innocent, and not let him die later when he's guilty of committing murder or all of these very bad different crimes that he may do. We're talking about somebody who was warned. He repeated it over and over again. He eventually was punished with Malkut. He was given lashes. He stole again from his father, and eventually, his father's money is going to run out. He's not going to be able to steal anymore. He'll steal from other people, and then he may have an encounter with somebody who's trying to stop him, and he's going to kill them because he's so addicted to his vice of the meat and wine. So therefore, we say, let him die now before he has that negative impact on the world of theft and murder, and he'll be innocent, and that'll be the end of the situation. When a wicked person dies, it's beneficial to them because they're not going to make any more averot, any more sins. And it's also beneficial to the world because they're not going to have the ability to hurt other people. So when these resha'im are gone, it is a good thing. When a sadiq, a righteous person dies, it's bad for them because they were accumulating a tremendous amount of mitzvot through learning, through actual doing mitzvot. And it's bad for the world because the tzaddikim protect their generation, and they also are the leaders of the generation, giving musar and giving hadracha, guidance to people on how to live their life. The Mishnah continues to talk about things that are good for the wicked and bad for the righteous. Yayin v'shena. Wine and sleeping, which sleep comes from wine, are of wicked people are considered to be beneficial to them and also beneficial to the world. They enjoy it, and it's also beneficial to the world because when they're drunk or when they're sleeping, they're sort of out of it. They don't have the ability to have that negative effect or to hurt other people. But wine and sleep for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, are bad for them and bad for the world. They can't involve themselves in Talmud Torah when they're drunk or when they're sleeping. And also, because of that, the world doesn't have the effect of the Torah learning that they have. The world runs by Torah. So if there's no Torah learning from these tzaddikim, it affects the world in a negative sense. We're talking here about a type of sleep that is not a normal type of sleep. We're talking about a sleep where somebody gets very drunk and they sort of pass out for a long time. But normal type of sleep would be good and normal. Pizur la resha'im, If the wicked people are scattered all over the place, it's beneficial for them and also for the world. Because when these people are not together, when they're separate, they can't plan and plot all their crimes, and they couldn't help each other commit crimes. So they're not sinning, or they're sinning a little bit less. And also the world is not having the effect of them all being joined together and committing these crimes as one. Vela sadikim rat lahen vela la'olam. But if the sadikim are scattered all over the place, it's bad for them and also bad for the world. When they're not together, when sadikim are not joined as one, they can't help each other, they can't study Torah together, and it limits the good that they could do, and therefore it's also bad for the world. Kinus l'resha'im, ra lahen v'ra la'olam. The opposite is true as well. The gathering of the wicked people is bad for them and bad for the world, because they're going to do more bad, and therefore they're going to have more avirot, and it's bad for the world because the effect that they have on the world is also going to be worse. V'la sadikim hana'a lahen v'hana'a la'olam. But the gathering of the sadikim together is beneficial for them and beneficial to the world. Sheket l'resha'im ra lahen v'ra la'olam. If quiet, peace, and serenity is bad for the wicked people and bad for the world, because they're going to use the opportunity to do averot and to harm others when there's nothing distracting, there's nothing occupying people, like peace, where it's in just everyone's calm, then the resha'im are going to take advantage of that opportunity and they're going to do sin and harm other people. But peace and serenity for the sadiqim is beneficial to them and also beneficial to the world, because they can use the time right. They can study Torah and they're going to do mitzvot.